Matthew chapter number 11. And if you say, well, I forgot my Bible or I didn't bring a Bible, there should be a Bible either under your chair or under the chair in front of you that you could use. And if you don't have a Bible, you're welcome to take it home with you. We want you to have it. We want everyone to have a Bible. I'm thankful for the Bible. Amen. The Bible is the Word of God. The word Bible means book or books, but this is really more than a book. It's the Word of God. And when we begin to view it that way and read it that way and accept it that way, well, that just makes a difference. It makes a difference in our lives, the way we approach and the way that we receive the Word of God. I want to give you a little backdrop on the thought that God's laid on my heart for this morning. Here in Matthew chapter 11, it's one of my favorite chapters in the New Testament. It's a chapter when John the Baptist, you know about John the Baptist, he was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And John the Baptist, well, when he came to preach and he came to declare and to announce that there was one that was preferred before him and there was one greater than him that was going to be coming on the scene. He announced the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, John, because he was a straight shooting preacher, he got through in prison. The king didn't like some of the things that John preached. He preached against the king's sin, and he didn't like that. And so he put him in prison. And while he was in prison, he had a lot of things going on in his mind. And some of his disciples, when they came to visit with him, if you look in chapter number 11, they sent him to Jesus. And they said, "We've got a question I want you to ask," John said. He said, "I want you to go to Jesus and look at verse 3. And say unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" You know, are you the Messiah? Are you the promised one? Are you the one that the Old Testament scripture prophesies that's going to come? Or do we need to look for another? You know, I believe there's a lot of people still asking this question. You know, maybe not in regard to the person of Jesus or the work of Jesus, but maybe just in the regard of what do I need? What's my need? What can I do for forgiveness of sin? Or it may be called different things, penance, or turning over a new leaf, or a change of life, or a new beginning, or just what can I do to make sense out of it all? You know, I mean, I think there's a lot of people that have that question today. I sincerely do. Well, it was no different in this day. Even in the days of the ministry of the Lord Jesus, there were people that were searching. They were looking. They were longing. They were yearning. They were hurting. They needed something that this world can't provide. And after all these years of mankind, I'm just sad in my heart that there's so many that have still not found the answer. The soul of man is a turbulent thing. It's restless, like the sea. There's a lot of toil and turmoil in a man's soul that does not know Jesus. And I think we're seeing the result in our society today of men who do not know Jesus. When I say men, I refer to mankind. People who do not know Jesus, they're searching on every hand. They're looking, they're trying to find something that will just bring a peace and a calm and an assurance and a purpose to make sense out of this thing that we call life. Well, in verse number 4, when they came to Jesus and asked that question, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus said this. He answered and he said unto them, you go and show John the Baptist, you know, he's the one who sent with this inquiry. He said, you go and show John in verse number 4. Again, those things which you do hear and see, the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. In other words, he said, you go and tell John a resounding yes. I'm the one that was prophesied of. I'm the one. And so the Bible says that after they had departed, Jesus began to speak to them and tell them, you know, that John's a good man. He's a good man. Now, there were a lot in that company of people that didn't think that about John because of his preaching. They didn't think John was too good of a man. As a matter of fact, they found fault in him. Can I tell you, if you want to find fault in somebody, you can. You can. And if people want to find fault in you, they can. And Jesus began to address that. And I'm not going to it because it's just kind of a backdrop. But I want you to notice what Jesus said in verse number 16. He began to rebuke. As a matter of fact, if you look in verse number 20, it says he began to upbraid. That means to chide. That means to really be. Listen, I mean, he got down with them and said, now listen, I want to tell you something. He said, the words that you speak and the things that you do are being recorded, and you're going to answer to God for it one day. And brethren, I tell you, that's sobering, because that's so of all of us. We need to really think about these things. And Jesus said in verse number 16, he said, but whereinto shall I liken this generation? He had just told them in verse 15, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He said, listen, you've been afforded a great privilege. You're living in the day when God sent one of the greatest prophets ever to walk the face of the earth, John the Baptist, to preach. You better take heed to what you're hearing. And you stand before the very Son of God himself, and you're hearing what heaven has to say to earth through Jesus. And he said, listen, you better take heed and know that with great privilege comes great responsibility. Amen. And brethren, we're blessed. Look at us. We're sitting in a church. Most of us are warm. Some of you've got blankets, but most of us are warm, and we're comfortable, and we're not being persecuted for our faith. We've met here. We don't have to meet secretly. We're not underground. We get to worship our God in accordance to the dictates of our heart. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. It could change in a moment, brethren. It could change in a moment. Please understand, it could change any moment. We need to thank God for the privileges that we have in our day. We live in a free country still, as of yet. I know what it's headed toward. Listen, I see the direction. But as I stand before you right now, I thank God for the liberties and freedoms that our forefathers that they accomplished, and they set the foundation that we could still enjoy even today. The scripture says that Jesus in verse number 16 said, but whereunto should I liken this generation? Verse 16 of Matthew 11, he said, it is likened to children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we piped unto you and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you and you have not lamented. And then he said, you know, John came. God was so gracious to allow you to live in the time that one of the greatest prophets ever to speak the word of God from his lips. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Listen to me. What a preacher he was. And he said, you've been privileged to hear from this man. And he said, but you know what? He said, when God sent him, he said, he came neither, in verse number 18, neither eating nor drinking. And they say, he hath the devil. And then he said, on top of that, the Son of Man himself, Jesus Christ himself, God robed in flesh, came eating and drinking. And they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. He said, you know, some people never be satisfied. You send them John and he's one way and they find fault with him. Jesus comes and he's another way and they find fault with him. Just some people's going to find fault with everybody. You know why? It's their own sinful conscience. Listen to me. But I want to tell you what Jesus said that all of us need to do is the great acid test. Look at it in verse number 19, the last part. He said, but wisdom is justified of her children. He said, search him out. Search John out. Search me out, Jesus said. See if what I speak is not truth. Follow the works. Don't listen to what you hear. Don't listen to that stuff. Sometimes it could be the very voice of the devil himself in your ear. He said, you be careful about that. The ones that will talk to you about someone will talk to someone about you. Be careful. And he said, there's just some people that will never be satisfied because they're restless. And this is what's leading up now to his call. that we coined the great invitation. It's the great invitation. God laid this message on my heart as I thought about invitations that people would be receiving around this time of year. Invitations to dinners and gatherings and family happenings and Christmas gatherings and events. And you know what? They're great, and I'm thankful for that. Thank God for invitations. But there's an invitation that extends and that reaches higher and broader than any other invitation that's ever been given to mankind. And that's the invitation we're going to look at this morning. But Jesus said, now be careful. Don't be one of these kind of people, you know, that nothing's ever good enough for you. You're always trying to find fault. Those kind of people are miserable. Those are the kind of people Jesus said in verse number 16. He said, whereunto shall I liken this generation? He said, they're childish. They're like children. Nothing you do is going to satisfy them for any length of time. I pray to God there would be no one under the sound of my voice that has just degraded down to that form of life, to where all you've got is just to talk about people and run people down and try to find fault and nitpick and fault find with people. Won't you rise above that? Amen. And stand on what you believe and speak the truth in love and find something that you can lift up and someone you can edify and someone you could encourage. So, well, there's things wrong with this and with that. There's things wrong with all of us, brethren. We're broke. I'm not excusing sin. I'm not excusing wrongdoing. But we're broken people. But I sure am glad that Jesus can use broken things. Amen. Aren't you? Amen. Then he said this, then he, in verse number 20, he began to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done because they repented not. He said, you know, you've received a lot of light. You've received a lot of teaching. You've received a lot of good and a lot of information and a lot of miracles. And he said, you need to sit up and pay attention to the privileges that you have because you're going to answer to God one day. That's what he said. And then he got down into verse number 28. And he said, regardless of where the pendulum swings and regardless of which side you fall on this, I want you to know that I love you. Now, this is Jesus speaking. And he said, my arms are open wide unto you. And it doesn't matter whether you're the one criticizing or the one being criticized. And it doesn't matter whether you're the ones trying to keep the law or whether you're the ones that's just disregarding the law. He said, I want you to know I love you. And I have something to offer to you. Now, I want you to take into account what's happening here. We're not talking about a king. All right? Not in this time. We're not talking about the king of the land. We're talking about a man that people viewed as a Jewish peasant. He had nowhere to even lay his head. We're talking about a man that was rejected and oppressed. He was denied and ridiculed. And yet he stood before these cities this day and he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. What a statement. Do you see it there in verse 28? Could you imagine how this just flogged the people that were there that day? Who is this guy? Who does he think he is? Right? Come unto me, he said. He said, I'll give you rest. What an interesting statement. I want us to think about this for a moment. I began to think and meditate on this, and God said, that's what I want you to bring to the people. So that's what I'm going to bring to you. He said this. He said in verse number 28, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, that's what people are searching for. Jesus knows what people are searching for. Jesus knows what people need. Amen. Amen. Jesus knows what we need, brethren. Amen. He could have said, listen, that word rest, you could just try to erase that and put a line there and leave a blank and fill it in, and most people would have put anything but rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you riches. Yeah, boy, you know. I'll give you fame. I'll give you health. We can fill it in with a lot of different things, but Jesus said, no, your greatest need is not what you think it is. There's a need that exceeds what man thinks he needs. And Jesus knows what that need is. And he said, there is a restlessness in man that only God himself can calm. Amen. And he said, you're restless. That's why you're living the way you're living. That's why you're doing the things you're doing. That's why you're nitpicking and fault finding. You're restless. And he said, you need some rest. You say, preacher, I do need some rest. I'm one of those kind of guys I used to be. Now, I gave this up. How many of you remember when you'd go on vacation and come back more tired than you were when you left? Hey, man, I used to be that way. I mean, I'd go on vacation, I'd come back, I need a vacation from my vacation. You know what I'm talking about? I tell you, as I got older, I did get a little wiser in that way. I just relax on vacation most of the time. I do. I just relax. You know, maybe there's someone in the congregation today, maybe tuned in by live stream, I don't know. You're saying, preacher, I sure do need some rest. I'm tired. I'm tired. It's been a long year or two, and there's just been a lot happen. Maybe COVID has hit your household, or maybe financial loss or setback. I don't know. Listen, I don't know. Maybe there's a health problem, and you've tried to fight, and you tried to weather, and you say, I'm just tired. Well, I think I know what you mean, but I want you to know something, okay? Jesus is not talking about a physical rest here. Though we do get tired physically, there's a greater tiredness than physical tiredness. There's a greater need. Now listen, this need that I'm going to speak to you about, this rest that I want to talk to you about and draw attention to today, it can cause physical tiredness. It can cause emotional tiredness. It can cause psychological tiredness. It can just cause mental tiredness. But it's not necessarily those things. It's the root of those things. It's a spiritual tiredness. Because I want you to notice what Jesus said in verse number 29. Look at the last part of verse 29 there. And you shall find rest unto your bodies. No. Your souls. See, there is a tempest inside of you, my friend. There is a storm that is raging if you have not made your peace with God. Oh, how I remember the days in my own life when there was a raging storm in my soul and I was searching constantly. I was yearning for some peace and some calm in my soul. And no matter where I turned to try to find it, whether it be people or places or things, I could not find any rest for my soul. But thanks be to God, when I came to Jesus, He gave me a rest that my soul had longed for. A rest in my soul. Thank God for that rest. He said, if you'll come to me. Now I want you to notice it very carefully. There are some people, good people now, that just don't get it. He didn't say, come to the preacher. I can't give you rest. I care about people. I do. God's made me that way. I speak to a group of people who care about people. God makes us that way. But we can't. I can't stand before you and say, come unto me. All you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I can't do that. I could, but I'd be a phony, a hypocrite, a liar. I don't have that to offer to you, but Jesus does. Amen. Amen. He makes no apology neither. I'm talking about one who walked the face of the earth as God incarnate. He stood before a group of mankind and said, you come unto me. Never once. Listen, no hiccup, no reservation. He said, you come unto me. I've got something I can give you. Amen. Notice the wording. He didn't say come unto the preacher. Didn't say come unto the church. Didn't say come unto religion. As a matter of fact, the religion, I believe, is inferred, if you'll look in verse number 28, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I want you just to, just for sake of time, I won't go into it in too deep, but I do want you to turn over to chapter 23 of Matthew. Please hold your hand in chapter 11. We're coming right back there because I want to get deeper into that point. But I do want to show you something. See, there's a group of people in Jesus' day. They're still around today. And they want to put a burden on you. They want to load you down and say, well, now, if you're going to get saved, you got to do this and this and this and this and this. And there's some people that will just load you down and say, now, you can't get saved until you've done this and this and this and this and kept this day and that day and this way and that way. I'll tell you something. Jesus is talking to that group, and he's saying, don't you buy into that now. Amen. That's not what I have to offer. I'm going to show you what Jesus has to offer here in just a moment. It's a wonderful thing. So there's people that'll put a burden on you. Now listen carefully. All ye that labor, that's those that are trying to do it themselves. Right? I remember before I got saved, when a man was talking with me about getting saved, there's a lot of things going through my mind, and I'm thinking, I just don't know if I can live the Christian life. Now, he wasn't telling me that. This is something I came up with. See, I was wanting to labor. Remember that? All ye that labor. And then he said, heavy laden. That's something that someone puts on you. That word laden, it's kind of a work term. It's like there's a bill of laden. Those of you who drive maybe heavy equipment or trucks, you know that with every shipment, there's a bill of laden to tell the amount of weight, the content of the container. It's a bill of laden. It's the burden. It's the weight that has been laid on to that freight, whether it be a ship or whether it be a tractor trailer. It's a bill of laden. So there's those that labor. Those are those who try to do it themselves. And then there's the bill of laden that are heavy laden. That's something that someone's laid on you and said, now you've got to do this before you can get saved. That's not so. That's man's way. That's religion. In Matthew 23, Jesus, speaking of that religious group, if you've never read Matthew 23, you'll see a side of Jesus that most people don't know. And I mean, he scorned these people, and he said, these people, he said, you are leading people to hell. In Matthew 23, look if you would in verse number 3. He said, all therefore, in verse number 2, he spoke to the scribes and the Pharisees. Now that's religious people. You say, well, religion is good, isn't it, preacher? For the most part, no. Religion is not good. It's not. Religion is pretty much man-made. Religion is do. It's man's way. You've got to kind of work your way to heaven. You've got to do enough to where God says, I'm satisfied with what you've done. You'll never do it. And so we look into this, and he said in verse number 3, all therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works. In other words, if they're telling you what Moses said, if they're telling you what the Word of God says, stick with it. However, that's not where they stop. Amen. You see verse 3? This is what he's saying. He said, but now their works, he said, don't do after their works. Their words, if they're coming from Moses, all right? They're coming from the Bible. He said, okay, good. But now, if they're just saying you got to do this and this and this, he said, don't do that. Why? He said, because they say and do not. Look at verse 4. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Now, let's go back to Matthew 11. This is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, you have to be careful about man. Man will try to get involved in my plan. And Jesus said, I've got a plan that I don't need man. I've got a plan for man. And I don't need man to try to get involved in my plan as far as the plan itself. I want them to share the plan. But I don't want them to try to add to my plan of salvation, which is by grace through faith. Period. Amen. And so Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor, those of you who think you can work your way to heaven, come unto me, All of those of you who think, well, I've got to keep the law, I've got to keep this commandment, I've got to keep that commandment, or I'll bust hell wide open. He said, come unto me, I've got something for you. When I've been raised to where it's been laid on me. Look again at verse 28. All you that labor and are heavy laden, you've been borne down with religion, and you've talked to man. Maybe you've talked to a preacher. You've gone to a church and they've said, listen, in order for you to go to heaven, you've got to do it the Baptist way. You've got to do it the Methodist way, the Catholic way, the Lutheran way, the Episcopalian way, the Presbyterian way. Hey, I got to tell you, you've got to do it Jesus' way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. It's in Christ and Christ alone, amen. I said Christ and Christ alone, amen. 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 Jesus said, you come unto me. Not the church, not a denomination. He said, you come unto me. Amen. Amen. All ye. I'm glad for that phrase. All ye right. That labor and are heavy laden. Now watch this now. Look at verse 20. Latter part of verse 20, it says, and I will give you rest. Jesus said, this is coming from me, not your preacher, not the church, not your brother, not your community. This is coming from me. Jesus is the only one that can do it, brethren. He didn't say we. Amen. He said, I will, look at that next word, give. You can't earn this now. It's a gift. It's the gift of God. Eternal life is the gift of God. So what do I need to do? I want this life, preacher. I need some rest in my soul. My soul is turbulent. It's toilsome. I need rest in my soul. Well, notice what he said in verse number 28, the first word there, come. You say, well, I realize that I'm struggling in my soul and there's no peace. Isn't that enough? No, that's a recognition, but it's not a remedy. Amen. See, when you come, you're acknowledging. Now, listen carefully. When you come, you're acknowledging. You're saying, I have a troubled soul, and I believe that Jesus is the answer, so I'm going to come, not to church. Thank God you're here today. Amen. Not to the preacher. Not to a man. You don't come to that for salvation. You come to Jesus. He said, come unto me. Come. I acknowledge that I have a need. I acknowledge there's a storm in my soul and I want peace where that storm is just raging. How can I get that peace? He said, you come to me and I will give. He didn't say I'll sell or I'll reward with you know, something for your labor. He said, no, I'm going to give it as a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Do you know anything about that rest? See, this rest is defined in Romans 5:1. Please listen carefully. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. All right? Do you have that peace with God? I hope that you do. Man is at enmity with God. And Jesus wants to give us peace. And he's made that peace, Colossians 1, verse number 20, through the blood of his cross. Oh, I pray that you realize that and you have received that. You say, well, preacher, I have. But there's still an unrest in me. What can I do? I'm glad you asked, because that's not the only rest that's mentioned in this invitation. See, that's where it begins, and I want you to write this word down or at least imprint it in your mind. Pardon. All peace with God begins with pardon. But I'm glad that's not where it ends, because there's probably somebody, if not in our congregation today, watching by live stream, that has made that peace with God, and yet there seems to be some disturbance in their soul, and they're wondering, well, I made my peace with God. I went to Christ. I received him. I repented of my sin. I did what he said. I came. I received that gift, and I received Jesus as my personal Savior, and yet today there's some unrest. How was that? Pastor Brandon taught on it in Sunday school this morning. Well, look what he says. He said, take my yoke. Okay, now you've got to do something to get the second peace, to get the second rest. Please don't miss this. There's so many people that are between verse 28 and 29, and they haven't found the secret. They haven't found the answer because they have followed verse 28. They've come to Christ. They've received Him. They've repented of their sin. They've trusted Him as their personal Savior, believing that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again the third day. They've received Him into their life. They've received Him, and they have peace with God. But there's a difference between peace with God, Romans 5:1, and the peace of God, Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Do you have the peace of God? You say, well, I've made my peace with God. Thank God for that. Amen. But do you have the peace of God in your heart? Is your soul calm? Are you resting in this sweet peace that I speak to you about? This rest, look at what he said in verse number 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find, not have, ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want to close with some truths on this illustration here that Jesus gave us. How many of you know what a yoke is? We got any farmers in the house? Or, well, not farmers, but just know a little bit about a yoke of oxen or a yoke of cattle, just use, you know, just a yoke. A yoke is a harness, right? Usually a wooden harness. So it's a harness that's put over the neck. And normally it's a harness that two, a team or a yoke of oxen fit into. And a lot of times, you know, there's a more mature and trained, and then you get one that's not as mature and trained, and you yoke them together so that there can be a teaching and a learning process. Okay? And so Jesus said, you know, you need to get in the yoke with me. All right? Notice what he said now. Once you come to me, that's not where it ends. Now, sadly, and I do mean sadly, this is where a lot of people think it all begins and ends. Now, it begins, but it doesn't end here. And so if you're sitting here today and you think, well, you know what? I've come to Jesus and I've trusted Him and I've received that rest. Done, finished. Oh, no. You've just got pardon. There's something far greater for you in this life. Pardon does affect this life, but pardon mainly opens the door to the next life. See, what you need to do is get involved in this life. Okay? Write this word down. This is what the second rest brings. Purpose. Purpose. Can I tell you, until you get purpose in life, you're just going to start searching and searching, and it'll be a different search. You'll just be looking. What is my potential? What is my place? What is my purpose in life? God has saved me, and I'm saved. I'm going to heaven, but what am I going to do in my journey? How many people in here have been saved 20 years? Raise your hand. Or more. 20 years or more. Look around you. Could you imagine going around on earth for 20 years just wondering? I'm saved, but what am I supposed to do? Jesus said, I'll tell you what you're supposed to do. When you come to me, stay with me. Get in my yoke. Take my yoke. Look what he said now. Take my yoke upon you. Get in the yoke with me. He said, take my yoke upon you. Learn, not, watch carefully now, not from me. You can learn from your preacher. Amen. You can learn from your parent. You can learn from your children. You can learn from your Sunday school teacher. You can learn from a lot of people. From. Now, we can learn from God, but he didn't say learn from me. Look at that again. He said learn of me. What do you know about this Savior that you have trusted? What do you know about this Jesus of Nazareth? What do you know about the God of the Bible? What do you know about the works of the Holy Ghost that lives inside of you? What do you know about this Christian life that God has saved you into? What do you know about the purpose and plan and the will of God that He has laid out before you? What do you know about that? Well, see, when we get saved, God just doesn't say, okay, and pull the curtain back and say, here it is, go at it. It's a pathway that is taken a step at a time. Somebody say amen with me. And so many people miss it because they get saved and they don't get in the yoke. They don't get discipled. They're not taught to get in the yoke with Christ and learn of Him. Are you learning of Him? Or have you not gotten in the yoke? Maybe you got in the yoke and you took yourself out. See, getting in the yoke is a submissive thing. Those of you who have yoked up animals know it takes submission to get into the yoke. And Jesus said, you submitted your soul to me, now submit your life to me. And so he said in verse number 29, take my yoke upon you. You take it now. That's submission. He didn't say, sit still and I'm going to yoke you up. Amen. That's not what he said. God didn't make you get saved and God's not going to make you serve him. Somebody say amen with me now. Amen. It's not going to happen. So I'm waiting on God to just rough me up and make me serve him. Not going to happen. Now he may discipline and correct you. But God's not going to make you serve him. He might make me think or wish I would have. Right. Yeah. Amen. So he said, take my yoke upon you. He said, learn of me. He said, I'm meek. I like that. Now don't misunderstand meekness for weakness. Jesus didn't say I'm weak. He said, I'm meek. What's that mean? He said, I think of other people. I'm just going to break down a few words for you and we're going to close. But please listen to this. Because I believe there's a lot of Christians right here in verse 29. They're just trying to find their way through and they haven't really come to the realization of this is where it's at. This is where the promise of God for your life is. You found pardon and thank God for it. I mean that. Praise the Lord. You've been pardoned. You've been set free. You're saved in the grace of God. Your sins are washed away. Praise the Lord. But what about purpose? What are you doing for Jesus? How is Jesus relevant in your life now? You say, well, if all you can talk about is what happened to you 10, 15, 20, you know, I remember that day. Thank God you do. But what about today? What about tomorrow? What about yesterday? See, Jesus ought to be prevalent and preeminent in our life now too. Amen. And so he said, take my yoke upon you. He said, learn of me. He said, I'm meek. Now, how many? What if I stood up here before you today and said, folks, I just want you to know something about me. I'm meek. If I was wearing a meek button, you'd take it from me. Amen. But Jesus can say that. Isn't that something? Isn't that amazing what Jesus, how bold the claims that he laid out there. You know why? He's all of that and more. Amen. He said, you come unto me. I don't believe it, preacher. Well, come to him and see. Right. Amen. I don't believe he can give me rest. Well, come to him and see. What are you afraid of? He said, learn of me. Look at it. He said, I'm meek. You learning? Have you learned that Jesus is meek? He's gentle? That he cares about you? Doesn't Jesus care? Doesn't he? I'm so glad that Jesus cares. I'm glad that Jesus has taught me to care, not near as much as I need to and want to, but he sure has taught me to care about others. And I believe Jesus teaches that to all of his children that will come to him and get in the yoke with him. I want to care about people. Why? Jesus said, I care. And if you'll get in the yoke with me, I'll teach you to care. Amen. Learn of me. I am meek. He said, I'm lowly in heart. Jesus said, I'll teach you to be humble. You won't have to fight to get on top. You don't have to talk people down to get to the top. Listen to me now. Jesus said, I'll teach you what it's like to be exalted. He said, I'm lowly in heart. He said, I'll teach you what it is to be abased and let God exalt you. I'll teach you what it is to resist proudness so that God will elevate you in humility. Only Jesus can teach that, but you know what? He will if we will allow him to. He said, just get in the yoke. I'll teach you. I'm going to do it myself, preacher. Nah, you're going to start climbing the ladder and you're just going to knock everybody in your way off. That's just man. That's what man does. Rat race. But Jesus said, now you come. He said, I'm meek. I'm lowly in heart. And he said, ye shall find. Isn't that something? You shall find that you're searching for. You'll find a rest. a rest that is like nothing this world or mankind has to offer. I pray that if you're here today, that you would come to the realization that there is a rest for the turbulence in your soul found in Jesus Christ alone. Please, please. And if you know Jesus as your Savior, I pray that you would take His yoke. Let Him teach you. Learn of Him. Say, how do I do that? Well, just look back to verse number 26. We'll go back to verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. What a statement. Amen. Because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto the babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Thy sight. All things are delivered unto me. That's why I want to go to Him. Are you getting it now? All things, Jesus said, are delivered unto me. That's why I want to get in the yoke with Him. And He said, they're delivered unto me and given unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son, watch it now, will reveal Him. You get in the yoke and you learn of Him. And you'll, listen, He will reveal Himself to you. Did you see what Jesus just said? He said, I'll reveal it. But now, I'm just not going to come up and wham you. You get in my yoke. You walk with me. Amen. You learn of me, and I'll reveal some things to you. The secret things belong unto the children of God. Stand to your feet. As we learned, that He said, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. What's that mean, preacher? My yoke is easy, my burden is light. I believe it might have been a sign that He had on His carpentry shop. Jesus knew about yokes. I believe He built quite a few. But this is not the physical yoke's not what He's talking about. He's talking about a spiritual yoke. He said, get in my yoke. Walk with me. See, that's what happens when you get in the same yoke with another. You walk with them. Wherever they go, you go. That's right. Jesus said, you get in my yoke. He said, my yoke is easy. What's that mean? It means I've got one tailor-made just for you. Now, I don't buy tailor-made suits. I just don't. You say, well, I do. Great. Then you understand tailor-made suits. But I do like for my suits to fit me. And usually, if I look long enough, I can find one that's shaped like a, I don't know, what am I shaped like, a pumpkin? But I like my suits to fit. And I believe you do too. And that's what Jesus said. He said, I've got a yoke that'll fit perfectly on you. And you, and you, and you. He said, I've got just the yoke for you. Take it. Get in here with me. He said, my yoke is easy. He said, my burden's light. He said, you won't have to exert all that energy. I'll do it through you. I'll lead you through the fire, through the water, through the trials, through the storms. He said, I'll lead you. Isn't that a wonderful promise? Amen. Let's bow our heads together. If you're here to be baptized, and I'm going to ask you to go ahead and prepare for baptism. Maybe you need to prepare your heart. But while these are going to their baptismal area to prepare for baptism, if you're here today and you say, I'm saved and I'm here to be baptized, well, you go ahead and slip out right now. And if you're a young man, you can meet, or a man, you meet Brother David right over here. Okay? The ladies will be on this side. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask you something. Have you entered into that first rest? Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? Is there a turbulence in your soul that needs to be taken care of today? Is there? If there is, I want to tell you, Jesus can calm the storm.